Well, frustrated or not, I still wonder how it can be that heaven is right here and I don't experience it.
You cannot experience what you don't know. And you don't know you are in heaven right now because you have not experienced it. You see, for you, it's a vicious circle. You cannot, have not found a way yet to experience what you do not know. And you do not know what you have not experienced. What enlightenment asks you to do is to know something you have not experienced and thus experience it. Knowing opens the door to experience. And you imagine it's the other way around. Actually, you know a great deal more than you have experience. You simply don't know that you know. You know that there is a God, for instance, but you may not know that you know that. So you keep waiting around for the experience. And all the while, you keep having it. Yet you are having it without knowing, which is like not having it at all.
Boy, we're going around in circles here.
Yes, we are. And instead of going around in circles, perhaps we should be the circle itself. This doesn't have to be a vicious circle. It can be a sublime one.
Okay. A question then. Is renunciation a part of the truly spiritual life?
Yes, because ultimately all spirit renounces what is not real. And nothing in the life you lead is real, save your relationship with me. Yet renunciation, in the classic sense of self-denial, is not required. A true master does not give up something. A true master simply sets it aside, as he would do with anything for which he no longer has any use. There are those who say you must overcome your desires. I say you must simply change them. The first practice feels like a rigorous discipline. The second, a joyful exercise. There are those who say that to know God you must overcome all earthly passions. Yet to understand and accept them is enough. What you resist persists. What you look at disappears. Those who seek so earnestly to overcome all earthly passions often work at it so hard that it might be said this has become their passion. They have a passion for God, a passion to know Him. But passion is passion, and to trade one for the other does not eliminate it. Therefore, judge not that about which you feel passionate. Simply notice it, then see if it serves you, given who and what you wish to be. Remember, you are constantly in the act of creating yourself. You are in every moment deciding who and what you are. You decide this largely through the choices you make
regarding who and what you feel passionate about. Often a person on what you call a spiritual path looks like he has renounced all earthly passion, all human desire. What he has done is understand it, see the illusion, and step aside from the passions that do not serve him, all the while loving the illusion for what it has brought to him, the chance to be wholly free. Passion is the love of turning being into action. It fuels the engine of creation. It changes concepts to experience. Passion is the fire that drives us to express who we really are. Never deny passion, for that is to deny who you are and who you truly want to be. The renunciate never denies passion. The renunciate simply denies attachment to results. Passion is a love of doing. Doing is being experienced. Yet what is often created as part of doing? Expectation. To live your life without expectation, without the need for specific results, that is freedom. That is godliness. That is how I live.
You are not attached to results?
Absolutely not. My joy is in the creating, not in the aftermath. Renunciation is not a decision to deny action. Renunciation is a decision to deny a need for a particular result. There's a vast difference.
Could you explain what you mean by the statement, passion is the love of turning being into action?
Beingness is the highest state of existence. It is the purest essence. It is the now, not now, the all, not all, the always, never aspect of God. Pure being is pure God-ing. Yet it has never been enough for us to simply be. We have always yearned to experience what we are, and that requires a whole other aspect of divinity called doing. Let us say that you are at the core of your wonderful self, that aspect of divinity called love. This is, by the way, the truth of you. Now, it is one thing to be love, and quite another thing to do something loving. The soul longs to do something about what it is in order that it might know itself in its own experience. So it will seek to realize its highest idea through action. This urge to do this is called passion. Kill passion and you kill God. Passion is God wanting to say, hi. But you see, once God, or God in you, does that loving thing, God has realized itself and needs nothing more. Man, on the other hand, often feels he needs a return on his investment. If we're going to love somebody, fine, but we better get some love back. That sort of thing. This is not passion. This is expectation. This is the greatest source of man's unhappiness. It is what separates man from God. The renunciate seeks to end this separation through the experience some Eastern mystics have called samadhi. That is oneness and union with God, a melding with and melting into divinity. The renunciate therefore renounces results, but never ever renounces passion. Indeed, the master knows intuitively that passion is the path. It is the way to self-realization. Even in earthly terms, it can be fairly said that if you have a passion for nothing, you have no life at all.
You've said that what you resist persists and what you look at disappears. Can you explain that?
You cannot resist something to which you grant no reality. The act of resisting a thing is the act of granting it life. When you resist an energy, you place it there. The more you resist, the more you make it real, whatever it is you are resisting. What you open your eyes to look at disappears. That is, it ceases to hold its illusory form. If you look at something, truly look at it, you will see right through it and right through any illusion it holds for you, leaving nothing but ultimate reality in your sight. In the face of ultimate reality, your puny illusion has no power. It cannot long hold you in its weakening grip. You see the truth of it, and the truth sets you free.
But what if you don't want the thing you're looking at to disappear?
You should always want it to. There's nothing in your reality to hold on to. And if you do choose the illusion of your life over ultimate reality, you may simply recreate it, just as you created it to begin with. In this way, you may have in your life what you choose to have, and eliminate from your life what you no longer wish to experience. Yet never resist anything. If you think that by your resistance you will eliminate it, think again. You only plant it more firmly in place. Have I not told you all thought is creative?
Even a thought that says I don't want something?
If you don't want it, why think about it? Don't give it a second thought. Yet if you must think about it, that is, if you cannot not think about it, then do not resist. Rather, look at whatever it is directly. Accept the reality as your creation. Then choose to keep it or not, as you wish.
Who would dictate that choice?
Who and what you think you are dictate that choice. And who and what you choose to be. This dictates all choice. Every choice you have made in your life and ever will make.
And so the life of a renunciate is an incorrect path.
That is not a truth. The word renunciate holds such wrongful meaning. In truth, you cannot renounce anything, because what you resist persists. The true renunciate does not renounce, but simply chooses differently. This is an act of moving towards something, not away from something. You cannot move away from something, because it will chase you all over hell and back. Therefore, resist not temptation, but simply turn from it. Turn toward me, and away from anything unlike me. You know this. There is no such thing as an incorrect path. For on this journey, you cannot not get where you are going. It is simply a matter of speed, merely a question of when you will get there. Yet even that is an illusion, for there is no when, neither is there a before or after. There's only now, an eternal moment of always in which you are experiencing yourself.
Then what's the point? If there's no way not to get there, what's the point of life? Why should we worry at all about anything we do?
Well, of course you shouldn't. But you would do well to be observant. Simply notice who and what you are being, doing, and having, and see whether it serves you. The point of life is not to get anywhere. It is to notice that you are, and have always been, already there. You are, always and forever, in the moment of pure creation. The point of life is therefore to create who and what you are, and then to experience that.